And the last of the jingle bells there, I'm hearing. It's just about over for everyone, right? Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We're wrapping it up here, but we are finishing up with a creepy Christmas here on Coast to Coast AM, and we're talking with Sam Sheeran. We have. I keep wanting to give him that special accent, but he's gonna. I've got something really neat coming up, so I hope for you guys to stick around for that. But also, George Norrie has some neat things coming up tomorrow when he comes back to work. He's going to be talking about trends for 2017 because the New Year's coming up on us, and also power hip of hypnosis. He's got two segments for you tomorrow night. And we got some more creepy things going on here, and just this is just a strange night, and got a lot of protection going on too. A lot of good people that call us and connect with us. I really like that. There's a lot of good people with Coast to Coast and a lot of the listeners and stuff. And I like when the people that aren't all that good don't, they just go somewhere else. We don't need that. It's bad enough in this world, right? It's all about a good time this year. It's all about inspiration and good people and giving and nice things. So we're going to be coming back with more creepy Christmas next here on Coast to Coast AM and Sam Sheeran. We are back on Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, taking your questions this hour with Sam Sheeran and enjoying a creepy Christmas with Sam. Sam, you've got such a background. I mean, you do all this artist's work and also the poetry as well. So you do a lot of writing and a lot of print. Do you also take this wonderful mind of yours that can go there really deep? And does it, do you also do anything else that's outside of print with it?
Actually, I'm a co-host on an unexplained podcast. So if everybody loves Coast to Coast, there's actually another one out there called Into the Fray Radio. So Into the Fray we do once a week, and it's hosted by Shannon LeGros and my co-host Ryan Sprague, who's a UFO journalist, author. Actually, he's just put a book out as well, Somewhere in the Skies, and you can get that on Amazon. So check out Ryan Sprague's book. But Into the Fray, yeah, I mean, that's a place once a week where we get together and we discuss the unexplained, and we discuss sort of monsters or cryptozoology or even sort of not always political, but certain things in the sort of the news that regard NASA or what's the right thing to do if we go to another planet and that kind of thing. So it's a really interesting sort of place for us to sort of put our own creative minds into a melting pot.
That's interesting. I do the same thing. I do a YouTube channel. It's Blue Rock Talk with Earth's Most Interesting Conversations, and it's the same type of thing. It's just fun. It's interesting. It's and if you're into it, I mean, that's you can't do anything else but want to talk about it and learn about it and find out, what it is that what it's all about. But I'm actually asking. Yeah, but I'm actually asking you more as an artist. Do you do anything sculpture-wise or painting or because you're wonderful with this?
Well, thank you very much. I try and sort of have as many irons in the fire, so to speak, as I can. I like to say I never really have a day off because I'm sort of, I never really have a day at work because every day as an artist is living the dream. Lucky is the man who loves his job. And so I never really take a day off. Every day is a creative day, and whether it's me simply doodling on a napkin during a lunch break or a meeting with someone having coffee, not that I'm not listening to them in the meeting, but
Sounds like
I'll
it.
draw on, I'll draw sort of whatever comes into my head, a monster or what kind of thing, on any scrap of paper or a napkin. But I've done sculpture in the past. I've done mask design for bands. Actually, Waylon Revis, who's the former singer for Mushroomhead, the band, he's coming out with his own solo album called A Killer's Confession. And the album actually features Brian Head Welch from Korn. So if everyone loves Korn and Mushroomhead, that kind of thing, check out A Killer's Confession because I just designed his mask. So it sort of all ties together. The irons are in every fire, but they're all sort of connected in a sense. And Tom Hazard at EMP Records, he's been really working incredibly hard and making everything sort of fit together and make all of these albums and things that we work on sort of come into reality. So it's a wonderful place to be.
I do know. I understand, too, having a lot of irons in the fire. I think that's the media in general as well, and there's the world of the strange, too. Now, one of the people that I know that you've done something for and very well-known here on Coast to Coast, actually two people, is David Weatherly and Streber. What did you do for those guys?
Well, those are two wonderful men, absolutely, genuinely incredibly interesting and very knowledgeable people themselves. Weirdly, I created some artwork for his special edition sort of re-release of his book, The Wolfen, his sort of, not to ruin it, sort of werewolf story. That was made into a movie many, many moons ago. And growing up, it was one of my favorite films. And so being in touch with Whitley, he said, well, I actually need some artwork, you know, to sort of promote the re-release of that. So I was lucky enough to create something for him. And David Weatherly, you know, I continue to work for him. We're putting out more books from him that he's written next year with the cover artwork by myself. But previously, he's put Wood Knox out, Volume 1, which is a collection of Bigfoot stories and accounts and sort of essays, really, more than anything, from various other experts, including Nick Redfern, Micah Hanks from the Grailian Report. You know, David Weatherly himself has written one in there. There's a whole host of people. And it is really one big family. You know, I think me and you spoke earlier about sharing and collaborating is really the way to go these days. And it's nice that it's going this way. Now that we're also connected over the internet, people are more inclined to share. I think there was a time where, you know, if you had something valuable, everybody used to keep it really close to their chest because that's all we had. But now everything's so much out there and we're moving forward. It's really great to have all of these incredibly talented other people involved sharing their information and putting collective books out together under people like David Weatherly, who himself has such a vast knowledge of various different unexplained topics, you know. Really, really amazing opportunity for me. You know, sort of, again, it's like a childhood dream being interested in all of these things, to be able to be out there illustrating cover artwork for books and movie posters as well. You know, Small Town Monsters with Seth Breedlove. He's just put out the Beast of Boggy Creek documentary, the Boggy Creek Monster. And that has Lyle Blackburn on there, who's also in Wood Knox from David Weatherly. And Lyle's narrating the documentary from Small Town Monsters. And, you know, that's three films they've done now, and I believe they're doing Mothman next. So these multifaceted, talented people all collaborating is certainly the way forward for everyone, I think.
It is, and it's exciting as well. You know, when someone comes to you and says, hey, I want you to do my book cover or a poster or something like that, and let's say they come to you and they want to do, well, let's say Mothman. You said Mothman. Do you try to find people that may have had a sighting and try to really, you know, nail down the look from an actual witness? Or do you kind of, you know, look at some of the older stuff and say, yeah, I think I'll make it look like this, or design something yourself? How do you go about your artwork?
Well, from a sort of an accurate portrayal sort of standpoint, I really try not to put my own spin on anything when it comes to that. If it hasn't come out of my head, then it shouldn't. I do talk to as many people as I can find or get hold of or read accounts or do the little digging through the archives to find descriptions from various witnesses. And then those will be compiled. And coupling that with my own natural history knowledge from growing up and sort of being a huge wildlife enthusiast, you know, growing up watching documentaries with Sir David Attenborough, that was and still is today a huge, huge passion, is to sort of, you know, I won't tend to watch TV, but if there's a nature documentary on, I'm hooked. So collecting books on natural history and going to museums and collecting taxidermy as well is something that really adds to my own artwork when I'm illustrating something. To have a knowledge and an understanding of what's real, you can then adapt and adopt those physical characteristics and believable, plausible rather, aspects of a creation from, you know, purely a witness report. You know, if you don't have it in front of you, then how do you make it look real? Well, the only way you can do it is to sort of look at how it would be real. How would this exist? And it really jumps off the page, I find, once you attach natural history to something that shouldn't be.
What's this stuff about the taxidermy? You've mentioned that a couple times, and that I didn't know. What? There's a little something going on there I want to hear more about. I'm not sure, though. What do you collect?
Since childhood, I've, had this huge interest and visited a lot of museums growing up. And so to own my own museum pieces started as an early age. My mum's been buying me taxidermy every Christmas and birthday, you know, since I was old enough to sort of point at and go, wow. I think one Christmas, I believe when I was 9 years old, I got an Indian cobra and a mongoose for Christmas, you know.
Whoa.
Most of my school friends would sort of be getting, toys or video games, and that just really didn't interest me at all. I wanted the exhibits and things. I really, even today, just love anything that's antique or particularly natural history collecting. And a lot of people sort of frown on it and say, oh, taxidermy, it's cruel or what have you. And it really is if you go out and hunt it. I don't agree with that at all. If you're hunting to eat and survive, then of course. But if you're doing it for sport, then I don't agree with that. I think that's absolutely awful. But specimens that already exist, antiques particularly from the Victorian era, are ones that really fascinate me because they quite often position them in almost romantic poses, you know, very exaggerated poses, and they just look beautiful. I just think they look absolutely fantastic, and it makes a home look, to me anyway, fascinating.
Well, that's for sure. What's your favorite piece?
Oh, goodness.
Is that what it's called, a piece? I don't even know.
Yeah, I suppose so. I have everything. I have badges and I have goat's heads above my bed, believe it or not. A lovely black Scottish goat head above my double bed there. I've a large skull collection, various deer, squirrels, lambs, alligators, you name it. I think my favorite, though, it's probably the horse skull. My mum bought a horse skull, which is absolutely perfect. The nose bone is intact, and it just looks beautiful, this huge horse skull on top of a shelf. You know, it really brings the room together. You know, you look at it and you think, wow, well, there's a piece, as you say. You know, you enter a room, and it's just more interesting to me than some random crappy piece of modern art, you know?
Well, I got about 20 questions to ask you from that, but maybe I better not. We won't go there, but I wanted to ask you, we cut out earlier, and I didn't get to ask you this question, but what did you do for KISS? I loved KISS growing up, and what did you get to do for them?
Oh, right. Well, I did, I've created several comic book covers for them. IDW Publishing have hired me over the last 10 years to do various cover artwork for various titles, including the X-Files, including Mars Attacks and Angel and Judge Dredd and things like that. And one of them was KISS. They, of course, have their own comic books. And from the previous works that I'd done for other titles, I was asked, would I like to do some cover artwork for KISS? So I did some of the collected volumes and covers of the greatest hits stuff. So yeah, that was fun for me as well, because being a fan of rock music and metal music and that kind of thing, you know, to have KISS sort of on your resume is pretty special.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. That is pretty special. Made me want to ask you about it. In the next segment, what I want to do is I want to, you know, if you don't mind, reading another one of your poems, because that was really a joy. Great.
Sure.
And we'll take we got a bunch of people on the phone call. Let's go ahead and grab one here real quick. First time caller, Eric in Pennsylvania. How are you, Eric? Thank you for calling in.
Hi.
Welcome to Coast.
Hanging in there. Am I feeding back?
Nope. You're good.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I want to tell you some experiences I had. The first of them, I became homeless in a town called West Reading, Pennsylvania. I was in the middle of the night, and sitting on a bench, freezing my butt off because I didn't have enough money to pay rent anymore. I spent my inheritance on paying bills and rent. So I came home and got kicked out of my apartment. And I was sitting there freezing and kind of not happy, man, you know. And I looked to my left and I seen something coming up. It was a boy with curly hair, about 4.5 feet tall. And I didn't really say nothing. I didn't think of nothing right away. But it looked funny. I looked at him. I watched it coming towards me. And it was like out of frame, out of sync, like out of no color to it, just an image, you know. The boy had curly hair. He came walking by me, and he's moving pretty fast. It was like 2:30 in the morning, so there'd be no kids out that late, you know. Any parents would do that. So I just like looked. I didn't know what to think or say. I just like sat there and watched it walk up. It was just faded. I faded. Dreary image, like, and I didn't know what to think. I laughed. It didn't respond. It just kept on walking up to the sidewalk in town, in, you know, middle of winter. And another incident I had, I went to visit home back in Long Swamp Township where my farm used to be, and this guy was a kind of one of my arch enemies, I could say. I heard a voice in the house, like, bragging, on a holy, evil, bragging voice.
Eric?
Yeah.
Do you have a question for Sam?
Well, let me finish my story quick.
Well, we just want to ask for some questions from Sam, so thank you very much for calling. No offense to you there, Eric. I just want to make sure that we take care of our guest here, so sorry about that. I guess, you know, we do a lot of open lines here, so
I love it
and I love that too. I mean, he's out, and this is the first time he called, and that's a fantastic thing. I just want to make sure that we respect you as well, and definitely talk about what you're all about. But you of course understand this as well. Doing a podcast, doing all this artwork, getting to talk to some of the coolest people out there, and you know, really being a part of it mixed in like this. Do you also get involved with the comic cons and all that kind of stuff too? Do you go to these events? Do you go even to the Star Trek-y things? You know, the Trekkies.
Maybe not so much the Trekkie stuff. I've never really been a Star Trek fan, although I do think the new films are pretty fantastic. Big Simon Pegg fan, actually. I do go to San Diego Comic-Con every year. I think 2017 will be my ninth year in a row signing there with IDW Publishing and, of course, Clive Barker's company, Seraphim Inc. And I love going to the New York Comic-Con or Long Beach. Stan Lee's Kamikaze, of course, down in, it's now LA Comic Con, down in Los Angeles. I love going to those places. And it's really more than anything to sort of see what's out there, what other people are working on, what's popular, and to talk to people who are basically on the same page.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that here. I love it, love it, love it. And it's great talking with you. We're going to be right back here. We're going to listen to another one of his poems. He's going to read it for us, Sam Sheeran, and sharing a creepy Christmas, wrapping it up for the new year to come in. You're listening to Coast AM, and I'm Connie Willis. We will take your phone calls, but we want them to be directed towards Sam. Thanks very much, you guys. Again, Merry Christmas, winding it down. It's Coast to Coast AM. The most listened to overnight radio program in North America, Coast to Coast AM. And the last Christmas song of the night, end of 2016. Got to do it with Bing and White Christmas. It's only good around this time to hear that stuff. You hear it any other time, you don't want to hear it. But during this time, that's when your heart gets inspired with all that. So there we go. Closing out Christmas. Hope everyone had a great one. And thank you for being a part of what we continue to have for at least the next 20 minutes or so. And that is A Creepy Christmas with Sam Sheeran. And we'll be talking to him more in just a few minutes and taking your phone calls if they're directed toward him. I know there's a lot of other phone calls on there now, but if you want to talk to Sam, we'll take your call because we want to respect him as a guest being in here tonight, and we really appreciate him. It's very nice to have him here. I want to remind those of you that say, oh my gosh, it's so late, I got to go to sleep, I want to hear it all, but I'm like tired. Well, don't forget, you can be a Coast Insider. And we've got some great deals for you. It's only 15 cents a day. 15 cents a day, that's it. And you won't miss out on any of our podcasts, our downloads. You can listen to the past shows, and it's live or demand for you. Audio streams, everything in high quality. So why not sign up? All you need to do is go to our website, and that's coasttocoastam.com. Coast to Coast AM with Connie Willis in our last segment, taking your questions as well if they're directed towards Sam. Our guest tonight with a creepy Christmas is Sam Sheeran, and we're wrapping it up. This is it. This is the last of it. I'm going to miss talking to you, Sam, but I'm going to be talking to you soon one-on-one ourselves. You and I are going to go Bigfooting. I love the fact that you're into that. Okay. Is that cool?
Oh, yeah.
One of the neat things you do with Bigfooting is that you compile artist impressions from eyewitness accounts. How's that going for you? How many have you done, and how exciting is that? I mean, and also, what about the different faces that you see if people are, actually giving you faces? Are you starting to see things looking the same or very different?
That's a really, really good question, because for people who aren't too familiar with the phenomenon that is sort of Bigfoot, Sasquatch, or mystery hominins around the world, is do they look more human in the face, or do they look more like your traditional ape, your gorilla or orangutan? It's really funny, the more sort of witness descriptions that you can draw from, you do start to build pictures of similarities, and what's really coming across is there's a hell of a lot more human looking in the face characteristics than anything else. And I think you only really need to look at the footprints of Bigfoot. They're so unlike an ape's foot. They're basically human-shaped footprints. So that really does lean towards them being more like people, perhaps even a branch of our own sort of species of Homo sapien, maybe just really big and hairy ones.
Well, the more you go out there, the more you learn yourself, that's for sure. And it's a lot of fun to do. Let's go ahead and hit the phone lines here. I still want you to read a poem, but let's get rid of some of these people on here. Take care of them, not get rid of them, but take care of them. They've been waiting for a while, and I appreciate that. First time caller, Rich, he wants to ask you a question. Hi, Rich, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Really good, thank you. Welcome to Coast.
Well, I'm a big-time listener. Sam, got a question.
Hey, Rich, how you doing? Merry Christmas.
Good. Have you been to Hawaii?
I have not been to Hawaii, no.
Oh, what's up with you now? I was born in High Wycombe, Buckinghamshire, in England. In Hawaii, we have a place called Eel Valley.
Wow.
It's in Maui.
What's going on there?
It's where the wars went on. Where all the Hawaiians were killed.
Right.
And there's actually a book out about it. I'm surprised you don't know about it. It's called The Night Marchers. They actually come out at night and march out of the valley.
That sounds terrifying to me.
Oh, I saw it once, and I saw it again two nights ago.
But you actually saw this yourself.
Oh, well, all the locals know it. They've told me stories about it. I saw it, yeah.
Wow. What do they look like?
They were dressed in white and gowns with their staffs, which are spears, and they were stamping them on the ground, and they walked right. I have a deck right there on the road, and they walked right by me. And I thought, I wasn't drinking or anything. I was like, And then I saw other people moving around. So I asked the locals, the neighbors, and they said, yeah, they come out. They're the night marchers. You ought to look into this, Sam. It's very interesting.
I will. I'm fascinated. Now I'm going to have to book a trip out there myself. But I might be drunk afterwards.
Go to Maui County, Eel Valley. It's called Eel. That's where I'm calling from right now. It's right up in the mountains where the wars were.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know what, Sam, that would be excellent for you to, you know, go ahead and put together another coloring book and add that to your coloring book.
Well, that's it, yeah. You know, I'm always sort of branching out into other ideas. I'm putting a different coloring book out each year, so indeed an unexplained one may be on the horizon.
Yeah. In fact, what is on the horizon for you? Do you have things coming up?
Well, next year I am going to be doing a Halloween coloring book to follow the Christmas one. So the difficult one's done, the Christmas one, which is, again, it's darker and creepier than Halloween. But when I'll be doing the research on the Halloween coloring book, we'll see just how many other things we can dig up that we've not heard of for that as well. I mean, coloring books, it just seems to be the rage at the moment.
Yeah, and that's really neat for you, especially. Let's go to wild card line number two. Gray Cat, California. Is Gray Cat your name?
It's my chosen name. It's the name I go by.
Oh, okay, I love that. I bet there's a story behind that one.
There is, but I'll save it for another time. I know you're not okay. Taking stories right now. But
well, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm actually calling from a very cold and dark forest in Northern California. And
excellent.
Sam, actually, we are friends on Facebook, and I've been following your art for years, and we have several mutual friends.
Yeah, you know what, Gray Cat? I'm just going to interrupt you there. It's an absolute pleasure to hear your voice. I know exactly who you are.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you. I've followed your work for years, and I love everything. I've been following everything you post, the napkin illustrations. It's great, and I definitely feel a kinship with you as a fellow artist. I do sculpture and dark art myself, and I was driving down a dark road and tuned into Coast to Coast and heard your voice and heard your name. I'm like, wow, it's Sam. Interesting.
Well, thanks for calling in. Yeah, I own a piece of your jewelry sculpture that you use. Gray Cat actually does some incredible artwork himself, and he uses animal bones and things, so naturally that really interests me. Phenomenal artist. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. My question to you, years ago I had an experience where I would describe it as a very supernatural experience with the use of DMT. And I encountered what Terrence McKenna called machine elves. And it was something very vivid, very, very vivid and life-changing for me, something that I think was not just a hallucination, but I feel like I really encountered a genuine supernatural reality. And it was so life-changing for me. It inspired a lot of my art. It really kind of propelled me into exploring a lot of old European folklore and Northern European folklore, and always been interested in mythology. And but I guess my question for you is actually, what was it that inspired you to take the so-called artist leap of faith to finally really pursue art as a full-time job? And I guess that's the question.
Okay. That's a great question.
Thank you, Greg.
Once in a blue moon, I will get that question. And it's a good one, because to be an artist growing up, a lot of people say, you know, there's no money in it. It's an irregular income. And I think just the pure love of other artists and seeing them succeed gave me a little sort of faith and input to sort of to sort of pretentiously believe that I could. You know, it's not something that's easy. Of course, you have to put time and effort into it. But I'm a big believer in the idea of if you want something enough, you get it. If you don't, it means you just didn't want it enough. And I think you can do anything in life that you want to do. And if music or acting or writing or, microbiology or whatever is your passion and your interest, if it really truly is an interest, then I say take that leap of faith and just go for it and fully, fully dive in, you know, head to toe, and just immerse yourself in the entire field, and you will succeed.
That's a great advice. Thank you very much for that phone call. And how interesting is that you know the guy?
Yes. Hey, small world, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, no, wonderful. It's great. Check him out.
It is that way. And it's great that he took advantage of knowing that he could get through there to talk to you. So we appreciate that. Very nice. Very nice. Well, I'd love for you to pick out another one of your poems and read one for us. It's very nice to hear when the artist actually, or the author actually reads, whether it's a poem or part of their book. I always like that quite a bit because they can, you guys say it the way you wrote it, you know, and it's really, really nice. You know, you can choose anything you want, but I do know that you said that you like Rabbit Rudolph very much, but maybe that's the artwork that you like as your favorite, maybe not the poem.
Okay, let's do Rabbit Rudolph then. Let's just have a look here.
Okay. I like that you did the snowman, because the abdominal snowman, because you're into Bigfoot stuff, so that was pretty
neat. We're on coast to coast, so I thought it was fitting to start with that, but as it's Christmas, let's do Rabbit Rudolph.
There you go.
Okay. Legend speaks of a deer so great who ate its Santa so as not to be late. This little beast, a sort of runt, was often bullied and got the brunt of all the jokes and all the hate. For all the pranks, he took the bait. One foggy night, as the story goes, his snout glowed red, brighter than a rose. Through thick fog, he lit the way, leading the other reindeer, pulling Santa's sleigh. For this act, he became a hero, no longer the loser, no longer the zero. The other deer who pulled the sled, they showed respect, so it is said. But little did they know that night that Rudolph had sustained a bite from a rabid bat their sleigh flew into. None of them noticed, none had a clue. Rudolph, of course, felt the biter, which made his nose glow ever brighter. He raced on harder through the pain, through sleet and snow and freezing rain. He was accustomed to what was cruel. He used the pain just like a fuel, delivering gifts to girls, boys, and babies. No one knew Rudolph had rabies.
It's so creative and deep. It's great. Rudolph, his red nose is because of rabies. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I love it.
Story. Now you know. Yeah.
I love it. So coming up for you, you're going to be doing a Halloween coloring book, and that's going to be interesting. Can you tell us some of the things that you already have? You know, you said it's a little harder, but can you tell us some of the stories or some of the things you're going to already look at that you know for sure you're going to do?
Well, as with the Christmas book, I like to go as far back as I possibly can, and going, you know, even beyond the sort of original pagan legends to sort of prehistory, to see where these goat people legends came from, you know, from country to country, even the Krampus, there's so many different versions of them, and it's plural, it's not just one Krampus, you know, there's many.
Right.
Something that I learned from Al Ridenour, by the way.
That's right. Al said that earlier.
Going to his lectures in Los Angeles, you know, you really did learn a lot from him. You know, he's a fantastic researcher himself. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, I'm sure you mentioned earlier, but people seem to think that Krampus is just one individual character, and it's not. It's many. So with the Halloween book, it'll be sort of delving into the legends that sort of brought us to this day, Samhain, and, you know, all the way back to the jack-o'-lanterns from Ireland and things like that, and really sort of digging deep into the origin of the season of dying and the fall and autumn, you know, to sort of really enrich where it all came from. Because I think today, you know, a lot of, particularly in America, no offense, but particularly in America, you guys do everything really big and large, and you throw so much enthusiasm into your holidays and your parties and your celebrations, and very much so with your Halloween. But one thing that always sort of sticks a thorn in my side with the Halloween parties is people will dress up as anything for Halloween. You know, they'll dress up as a pirate.
Yeah, or I don't like that. You know? I think it needs to be creepy.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, a 6-foot giant chicken, yeah, that is scary, but that's not Halloween.
Right, I agree.
Halloween should be witches and you know, werewolves and monsters and vampires and ghosts. You know, it should be creepy. Halloween should
be
creepy.
Right. That's
so
right.
Can everybody please stop dressing up as just anything? Because that's what it's about.
You can do that anytime, you know? You can do that any time of the year.
Do that on your birthday, you know?
I agree. Well, make sure you add the Headless Horseman in there. I want to make sure that that's in there. I enjoy that one.
Okay.
That's right. For Connie. Okay. Well, Sam, I want to, is there anything else that you'd like to say before you go? Because we're wrapping it up here with our creepy Christmas. First of all, is there anything else you want to say? And then tell us how to get a hold of you and reach you if we'd like to do that, or we can find you.
Yeah. I'd like to say thank you very much for taking the time and inviting me on Coast to Coast. I've been listening, as I say, for years and years and years and years and years. And to be talking to you here is an honor, and I'll certainly be talking to you on your own show in the future. I look forward to that.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be on Coast, isn't it? Absolutely.
I'll be coming along to Blue Rock, yes.
All right, Blue Rock Talk.
There you go. I'll be working on several projects next year, so people can look out for a new website and a merch line from me, my own T-shirts, and several other books coming out. But, of course, I'm still working on other commercial works for bands like King Creature in the UK, NVIDIA. They're just about to put an album out, Motor Grater, and, of course, A Killer's Confession from Waylon Rebus on the EMP label. So look out for those. I'll be working more with David Weatherly. He's putting some more books out.
Excellent.
You know, Ryan Sprague and Shannon LeGros on intothefrayradio.com. Go and check them out. Check us out even every Thursday.
All right.
But yeah, well, you can find me on Facebook.
We will definitely be looking for you. Hey, Sam, thanks very much. We got to go. Happy creepy Christmas to you, and a happy new year as well. We'll be talking to you again, I promise. Thank you very much. And also thank you for Al Ridner as well. And thank all of you tonight, our guests. It was kind to give for them to give us their time and thoughts, and kind for you guys to stick around too. Thank you for tuning in with me. I appreciate that. Hey, if you enjoyed the show as much as me, hey, please write in and tell us. We'd love to hear from it. From the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky, many thanks going out to Julie Talbot, Bill May, Josh Everett, Kirk Wesley, Tim Banal, Les Lonehood, Stephanie Smith, Lex Lonehood. It's been a long night. I need my bourbon and eggnog. Chris Burrows, Dan Galante, Tommy Danheiser, Sean Latasseur, Nathan Staten, Lisa Lyon, George Knapp, Crystal Hill, thank you very much. Greg Bishop, Jimmy Church, Schrader, Gar, and Sirit as well. And, of course, George Norrie. Until we meet again, I'm Connie Willis. Thanks for tuning in to me here and also on Blue Rock Talk on my YouTube channel. Thanks very much for that. Hey, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and uncover the unknown in 2017. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis.